It's Watercolor with Wendy. I had a question posed to me yesterday from an ongoing student, a wonderful student, who is showing me her work and developing her art, and is having a question. She says she can't understand how to determine what to include from your subject matter and what to leave out, or what to emphasize and what to make as background or supporting material. A very profound question. So she said, could you talk more about that to help me understand what I'm looking at a subject matter? So, for example, you might choose, and she talked about choosing something that you want, you have a feeling of wanting to paint it. Not like an assignment that someone like me will give their students to make a color study or something like that. But you decide you want to paint this thing, a beautiful romantic sunset, or a favorite person, or a scene that has good memories for you. You love it. So you're driven to paint it, because not for an intellectual exercise or practice, but because you want to put new life into it by doing your version of it, which is the instinct behind making art, I think, that we have a driven feeling of, how can I show this thing I care about or I'm interested in through my own eyes and my tools of my art? So if you're looking at, for example, I'll use the example of doing a painting of my granddaughter, and this is something that I tell all of my students not to do. Do not start your painting portrait career with a painting of your loved one. And some of them do it anyway, and then they run into a lot of problems because they're trying so hard to bring out the love that they feel for that person, that they get all caught up in the materials, and they overpaint, and they, you know, they scratch things out, and they get frustrated because they're not able to put forth the strong feelings they have about that subject matter, their granddaughter or their loved person. They don't have the skill level, first of all. They don't have enough skills or practice. And because it's a sort of a pointless mission, in the sense that you'll never quite be able to do it if you have a really strong feeling for it. So I do it anyway, because it's a great challenge and fail, and it's a wonderful way to see how inadequate my skills are for creating something that I really care about and love. And it's still worthwhile to practice for me, because it builds my skills and it teaches me what to leave out and how to follow the rules that I've learned over the years of how to interact with your subject matter. So, for example, you're trying to get the eyes right on a painting of someone you love. So, does they have such cute eyes? I want to express the cuteness of their eye. Well, that isn't going to work. You're going to have to always fall back on tools. So you talk about contrast, getting balance of colors, if you want the eyes to be a focus of the, and sometimes you don't, of the portrait, then you want to have high contrast, bright colors, hard edges. So if you keep going back to the tools and balance that with your desire to express what you see, then you will be more successful. So that's why I do it, to see if my skills are getting better. So my friend, whose name is Mimi, is working on portraits. She was a head of a school, and she has wonderful portraits of children, and she has beloved things in her household, plants and objects that she sees, she wants to express in her own way through a painting. So she's sometimes struggling with what is going to be the focus, because everything in the photo, let's say, that she's working from is something she cares about. The view out the window, the plant, the little figurines, the beautiful shadows, the chair next to it. And she wants them all to be in this vision that she has of a portrait or a painting of something that she cares about and to express that love. But you can't do that if you are just doing it by emotion. Like, I just want to do this. You still have to go back to the laws of visual interpretation of how you see it and how others might see it. So we have our tools. We have our tools such as control of the paint. The first one, of course, is composition. So if you start with composition, and everybody has this ability, I find, especially in the day of having iPhones, and that is you can take a picture of something and then you can adjust it later with the color balance or the framing especially. So that if you're taking a picture of a beautiful park and then you try different framings of it later on in your editing mode, then you will emphasize different parts. And so that many different portraits can come out of one, or many different paintings can come out of one photo. If you try a whole lot of different compositions that will focus on one aspect or another. But if you want to have 100 different things in focus, it'd be just too disturbing to look at. It's just too much to look at. Now, there are artists that have opposed that very successfully, but that would be too hard of a problem for me to make it still a statement with too many different things going on. And there is a way to do it. It's beyond my ability. But in the beginning, we want to be able to pick out one thing and then have an interpretation of that and through making focus and a line of vision, starting with your framing of the subject matter. What are you going to focus on? Is it going to be the eyes of a portrait, or is it going to be the clouds in the sky or something like that? And then you can emphasize those with our tools, such as bright colors, hard contrasts of hard edges, a variety of little different sizes of shapes, and then other parts of your subject matter will not be that way, because you can't have it everywhere in your painting. So the rest might be, are you going to include that little house in the distance, or is that going to be your new focus maybe? Or are you going to leave it out because it's just a distraction to your main point? So everything else has to be in service of your main objective. So I think it was Coco Chanel that said that the last thing you do when you walk out the door, according to her fashion rules, is to take something off. And any great writer will say, most of the work is done in editing. So you throw things out. So that is how you perfect your way of choosing what you're going to put. Now, in a watercolor, you're going to do a lot more planning because you're not going to be able to fix things later. So you have to plan from the beginning. Where is your focus? What are you going to leave out? What is your purpose in expressing this? And instead of trying to get everything all into one, like wearing all your jewelry at once, then you just do one main focus and then have other things be enhancing it by background material, out of focus, or in more muted colors. But you cannot have too much going on in one. The same way if you're writing something, you have to have a main point. You can't be talking about everything. You have a main point and then backup ideas that go with it. This is the same thing in composing a painting or a piece of music for that matter. You have to have one chosen force. This is going to be a soothing melody, let's say, a lullaby. You can't just add in everything that you think would be pretty or nice, that you like. So you got to get rid of like and dislike and think about the impact of a work of art and what is it you're trying to develop. It's a wonderful process if you go in this direction, because it helps you see and solidify your own thoughts and develop your own thoughts about what are you seeing in the world? How do you, as a unique person in the universe, see the world in your own unique way? And how can you convey that so that others can see it a little bit from your point of view? So I hope that helps, Mimi, and I'll send you this. That's it for today.